You're listening to Around Comics, episode 196.
It's so good to have you back.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comics and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835
Northwestern Avenue
in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Stop looking at me.
In the area, take a care of you.
Stop looking at me.
It's like a summer car trip.
I'm Christopher Niesman, and I am joined once again. Mr. Brian Salazar is with us.
Hello,
and Mr. John Suntress.
Howdy, boys.
Long time no here.
Retro Friday.
Sorry, it has to be sooner. Yeah, I know. I'm very sorry. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Way work back. Release finally worked out. For
you got all those beaches cleaned up.
Yep. The Edelweiss. I smell like Edelweiss and beer.
Mr. Tom Caters, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful. You're freaking me out, man.
I'm looking at you for the first time.
And I like what I see.
And Mr. Mike Grappin, Norton. Mr.
I'm going to go get some beer. Anybody want some?
Oh, yeah, I got some beer right back here.
Sure. Oh, well, shit. I'm not going to go anywhere then. Screw you, Sal.
Damn it.
What's up, Gravity?
I think I drank the last one.
No.
May I have one if you have another spare?
No, I got one.
You good?
No, right. What are you talking about? You had beer. It's trying to make me work.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna drink this one.
Go buy a case. At the end of the night, Sal puts it in the car.
Thanks, Mike. Everybody,
I owe you.
Everybody's got their frosty libation.
Throws the empty out.
Oh, it's by the way, since it is the
I once threw a case of empty bottles out of a moving car in Coleman, really? Wisconsin. Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not nice. Kill someone?
No, it was on an empty highway. And turn to my friend Joe
I'm
and
on
I said,
the highway.
Let's throw these bottles out of the window. And his response
and it was a good
was
idea.
To do it without saying a word. Pick up the entire thing.
Done. As a man of action. He doesn't waste time.
My other friend Pat was pissed because they were returnables.
Dude, that's like 35 cents.
And then we picked up an axe. No, but what's funny, though, is as we were leaving this cottage, there's this lake nearby. And these, like, really stereotypical, like, small-town teenagers. You know, like...
And what were you then?
I was from a mid-sized town who had illusions to a bigger town. No, I was probably only 18.
You were a teenager with an attitude problem, apparently.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I had a big problem. I had a big problem when I was 18. I thought I was better than everyone. So we're sitting in this car, and we're leaving this cottage, and...
And now he knows he's better than everyone.
This guy runs up to the car, and he's like... We drove our truck into the lake.
Because of the bottles?
Yeah, and he's like, do you have any chains?
That's not a very uncommon thing to hear it.
Because they
Wisconsin.
Got...
But in the windshield, it's not winter.
Because their windshield was shattered by a case of
empty bottles.
This some asshole, douchebag hit our car with
the
a case.
The worst part of that, though? We said we were going to go get chains.
And you
never came back.
Oh, wow.
We're probably still waiting for you.
Cold.
You were a dick. Yeah. I was 18. It was like 11 years ago.
They're still there.
Yeah.
Dead. All right, five more minutes.
Four more minutes. They started a new town.
We live here now.
I'm sorry. If you were 18 years old in Coleman, Wisconsin, and you drove your pickup truck into a lake... Which you shouldn't have done. It was summer.
Tom's making a mess.
Still can't apologize.
And then we throw the case of beer out of the window. Good times, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right. And we killed the drifter.
Yeah. Nice. You know, I had a really uncomfortable homeless person moment this week. I go to the local Starbucks on my way to work.
Resident challenged person?
Resident challenged
person. Houseless, Chris. Houseless.
Because home is a
cardboard
state of mind.
Cardboard box enthusiast.
So I go, I, I'm going to Starbucks, and I'd go there like, you know, two or three times a week. And this guy, yeah, I am. And this guy is standing outside panhandling, and he's like, do you have any change? He's like, no, man, I don't have any change on me. He's like, can you give me any food? He's like, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, I'll grab something.
Spurs?
Yeah, I'll get something for you inside. And so I'm thinking, okay, I'll go in and I'll, you know, get him a muffin or yeah, you know, muffin, something like that. And, you know, like a...
And he tries to talk himself up, bitch, too.
Well, I was, you know, picking, you know, a thing of orange juice, something like that.
I want a fucking scone.
Dude, follows me in.
Blueberry?
Follows me into the Starbucks, and I'm just like, okay, this is a little odd. You know, I haven't had my coffee. Yeah, he's like, hey, I'll take that right there. And I was like, okay, you want anything to drink? He's like, oh, I can't take coffee. Do you got any money for some soda? I was like,
shouldn't stand outside fucking Starbucks.
I was like, can I get you some orange juice? He said, oh, yeah, that would be good. And I was just like, yeah, it was...
You need to learn no.
Well, I, you know, it was my...
You had lunch with a homeless guy.
It was my Good Samaritan thing of the day, but I left feeling, like, really weirded out.
You should have brought cold cuts with you. I made a sandwich outside.
I had a weird, not a weird homeless, but just an annoying homeless residency challenge moment.
Houseless.
I went to Borders.
This is around hobos.
And I went to Borders. I was walking into the Borders. And this woman was sitting on the bench outside of Borders, as they always do, and she asked if I had any change, and I didn't have any change.
You did, though,
no.
Didn't
you? No, I didn't.
I was being completely serious.
Oh, you only had hundreds.
Actually, I didn't have any cash money on me whatsoever.
All right.
And so I go inside and I buy, you know, I'm like, no, sorry, I don't
just
have to.
Just
but price. I wouldn't, well, I'm not going to pretend like I wouldn't have given her any fucking money if I did. But anyway, I go inside and I buy my book or whatever, and I come back out and...
She confronts you?
No, she didn't confront me, but she starts asking me again, and I just didn't even look at her. I just walked. I started walking
away. Well, the embarrassing thing was you bought the homeless crisis in America was the fucking
ironically.
And she was
to learn more about it.
You were holding the book.
Can't bother reading right now.
I don't know what to do.
No, but so I'm walking away, and she's like, excuse me, and I, you know, she was going to ask again, and I still didn't have any money. She already asked me once, and I already said no. And so I just keep walking, and she, like, is yelling at me. Right. Excuse me.
Did you start running?
Excuse me. And
did
I'm
you
like,
start running?
No, I just walked. I just ignored her. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
But the Visa check cards have to be, like, the worst thing that ever happened to, well, not the worst thing that happened to homeless people or houseless people.
Yeah, I think losing a house might be a little bit worse, but I don't know.
A Visa, yeah.
Damn you, Visa check card.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to homeless people.
You're really cutting into my panhandling.
Besides losing their...
Damn you, Visa.
I'm
the second worst
What a century I'm having, man!
This is awful.
Losing my home.
But I'm serious, because I never carry money on me anymore, and I used to be the guy that would like give a buck to a houseless individual.
I don't anymore.
But yeah, I never carry money on me anymore.
All right.
So how about that, San Diego?
All right, then. All right, then.
Welcome to Homeless Radio.
Wow.
So yeah, that was my week.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Did anyone, speaking of San Diego, did anyone else watch the G4 or any of the media coverage?
Doesn't matter. Don't care.
I watched.
You hate G4. Why do you always watch it?
I love G4.
No,
do you really? Are you watching Hurl? Have we discussed Hurl?
No, I will not watch that. That's just ridiculous.
Why would you? Do you know about Hurl?
I had no idea what you're talking about.
Hurl, yes. It's a game show where they put people on roller coasters and they drink disgusting combinations of things.
Sounds like college.
And it's like, yeah, honestly, really, like,
I think they just call that a weekend at Six Flags.
Well, yeah, but proving that really there are no ideas left in television.
I don't get
this would make a great TV show.
I didn't watch the G4 San Diego coverage because it would be a bunch of stuff I didn't. I don't want to see the guy from
Lost.
NBC's. Oh. Yeah, like whatever.
Yeah, but you know there were interludes of comic book coverage, and it was and that's what I was looking for, to see A, how much time they would spend on comics, and B, what they would do with the time. And they had...
John, you're an insider. You already know what's going on.
No, but honestly, I really wanted to see what they would say and how they would present it.
I watched it to see,
friends. I wanted to see if some of my friends get on TV.
Like Philip Sabic from Top Cow, he had a nice piece with Brett. And that was cool.
He's not a friend.
And I was really happy for him. He did a good job. Although they went into the writer's room, and they're like, this is so-and-so, he's a writer. This is Matt, he's a writer. I'm like, that's Matt Hawkins. He owns the company, doesn't he? I'm like, how come you're just like...
He writes checks. Is your friend
like... Yeah, checks. He does. He is writing a couple books right now.
Why didn't you tell me about the Brubaker interview?
That was what I was going to say. Yeah, the guy, I can't remember his name. He had like dreadlocks, and his name was Splink or something like that. It was like annoying.
That guy is, I think they call him Flitz or something.
Yeah, it
like
is
that.
Like Flitz or something like that.
And he is
a cartoon character that's superimposed over.
He is somebody that works for G4, but they call him their fan, so they pretend that he's somebody that they gave a trip to. Yeah. But he's obviously an actor.
Okay,
who's there pretending to do this? And they interviewed Brubaker for 10 seconds.
Yes, it was 30 seconds.
They asked
and they
him
asked
him one question.
Why did you kill Captain America? That was it.
Because I hate America.
I think that was the first comic book coverage they actually had on the show in about 2 hours into the three-hour coverage.
What were they covering?
Well, obviously,
yes, movies.
TV.
It wasn't like last year G4 did 6 hours of comic book coverage. G4 doesn't give a shit about comics.
They did seem to do more comic book coverage. They actually had... They had little interludes of what's going on at DC.
They did a couple things like that. And Dark Horse.
I did my absolute best to ignore the fact that Comic-Con was even happening.
I was in Milwaukee. Bad luck, Crystal.
Yeah, bring it up.
Apparently, it's very... And as audio podcasters, here's something else that's interesting. If you had any semblance of video equipment... And there was a press line to interview people, as there are at these things. All the video people got to the front of the line. It didn't matter if, literally, like it's Goober's website with my little camera and stuff. They got preference over a lot of established text and audio sites.
Print is dead.
And yeah, apparently. I mean, it's really interesting. It's very interesting. I think they'll reassess that, and you'll see, a different style of pecking. But it seems this is what I'm hearing from.
Preference was to video.
And it's not like they can't get access to, like, Jim Lee, I guess, was like, it was tough to get a hold of Jim Lee talking about the DC game.
At Comic-Con, it was because
all the video guys were shoved to the front, and it's like, well, I'm sorry, he's out of time, he's got to do something. And no, it's no big deal. I mean, they can, everyone can contact Jim Lee, all these established sites, it's not a big deal.
The DC online thing.
What do you guys think?
I think it was cool.
I am terribly excited.
I'm so appealed. That appeals to me in such a weird.
Because you want to be. Why wouldn't it?
I want to be. Because I want to be. I want to be Sinestro.
Sure.
The
characters look great.
But are you going to be those characters, or are you going to be
your own character?
Is it City Heroes all over again?
But that's the thing. I never got to play City of Heroes. I always wanted to.
The best part of City of Heroes was the creation of your character.
Yeah, and that's what
boring as hell.
You're going to be doing that in. I mean,
right, creating your own superhero.
It's pretty cool to me.
City of Heroes was insane because once it got relatively popular, you'd go in there and it was just like 9,000 people flying around. I mean, literally everywhere, it's just like crazy looking
like
characters.
Top 10.
And nobody's doing anything. Everybody's just standing around.
Hey, what's up? Stop a robbery and 9,000 superheroes show up.
It was very strange. The character creation was cool because they had a really nice character creation set of tools and that was fun.
I saw it and there was a part of me that was like, my girlfriend's going to be gone for a year. I kind of want to hang out with the Flash.
but it could be.
I'm.
Looks good to me.
I haven't played like Dungeons and Dragons since I was a kid, but even then, I like the game. I was just too lazy to play it. There's a lot of work that went into it, right?
You gotta learn shit.
You make a game like World of Warcraft or these multiplayer games, and I'm just like, they're very appealing to me. But I just never got into them.
Right.
You add the superhero element.
And bingo.
It's very much more appealing.
I can fight Captain Cold.
But I couldn't play that because they didn't offer City of Heroes on Mac.
Oh, okay.
So now they say, okay, we're going to do a DC one. Okay, I'll buy a system. I don't care if I don't have it.
Is it going to be a PC game only? It's not going to be a
PS3, actually.
Sweet, I'm glad I bought my PS3.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting a PS3 anyway.
There you go.
I'm gonna Tom versus the Flash.
Yeah, it can't be Tom versus the JLA.
I remember when with Sid.
Yeah, Tom versus the JLA.
It can really happen.
Yeah, video podcast fighting the JLA.
I think so.
I'm only four.
Oh, you think you got me, JLA? Let me introduce my friend Starro.
I actually did a with the. Because there was a thing about it too with City of Heroes, because the character creation was so detailed and you could do so much with it that people were creating, you know,
copyrighted.
I actually did a retro girl at one point.
Really?
Character.
Oh, that's
funny.
And
it looked just like. I mean, you could. I mean, you could do so much with it. You. I mean, you could have people
so wide open.
Yeah. yeah. I think I posted it on the forum.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Long time back when that.
Yeah, I want to see how many Marvel creators are going to be tooling around the DC thing in a little anonymous thing.
Well, I'm just here. You know, I.
Is Gorilla City going to be involved?
Yes.
Can I go to?
Actually,
Gorilla
he did mention there is Gorilla City. In.
Nice.
Hey, I, honestly,
sold. If I have any opportunity to play any character in any environment.
PS3 for Tom right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, order a PS3 for me, because I'm going to be in Gorilla City.
If you're not aware, DC
that's where I'm
going
to set up shop. I'm going to buy an apartment.
Get there, at the handful there of major cons now, DC is slow. Posting their podcasts, and they have a Jim Lee panel talking about the game, and you really ought to listen to
why
it.
Why is Jim Lee talking about the game?
Because he's the one who designed it. That's why he's been so late on everything, literally, is because he's been
designing.
Yeah, he's been like right there hands-on with this thing.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen anything on it, so I...
The idea is,
the visuals are amazing, seriously. Yeah, they're great.
They're creating this world, and then the whole point is you create your character, and then you can go on these missions, which are written by established DC writers.
Cool.
So you're going to have all this stuff. I mean, think about it. I mean, if they wrote like a Blue Beetle module, like I wouldn't love that. Like I don't care if I'm not playing Blue Beetle, just to be part of that story.
The nice
awesome.
Thing with like the PS3 and the next generation system is like they can just keep pumping that stuff out and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
downloadable content, constant modules coming. Yeah, yeah.
December 20th, cold out. You know what I do? Go to Gorilla City.
Feel warm inside.
It's warm in Gorilla City all the time.
It's always warm in Gorilla City.
To me, the biggest downfall to any of those games, and the reason I've never really gotten into many of them, is it just seems like they fall short on the actual gameplay.
They never get past the great concept. Yeah.
And that from the stuff I'm hearing about it is that is kind of a concern. Is that the actual gameplay?
Well, they've gotten,
but
they've,
it's still not.
They've
finished
talked
yet.
About writers. Right. Writing stories specifically for DC writers writing stories specifically for
they're actually talking about crossover from stuff that happens in the game with actual comics too.
Well, having stuff in the comics be part of the game
like you would go through Crisis or not Crisis but you know like some story take a pre-established story and write it into the game so that you could actually
so there could be like well there could be like a Sinestro World War
that could be pretty sweet. I wonder, will it be like you could have multiverse stuff, you could have space,
you can have
Jeff Johns will just write it, and then Jeff Johns will write every 2 years from now, Jeff Johns will write all fiction, and it would all be really good, and I won't be mad. I'll just be like, I'm okay with
the
this.
World is right.
The day he writes a bad story, you're gonna be so sad.
Earth Johns,
it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure I could pick through some fine stuff.
Have you ever read his Thing miniseries, the Freak Show, Thing Freak Show?
Mm-hmm. Is that the one where, was that Scott Collins?
Yeah. It was okay, but it was very, you could tell it was his first.
The one thing that I read of his that I wasn't crazy about was his Humanoids book, Olympia.
I didn't read that.
It didn't grab me.
I really liked his Avengers work.
His Avengers work was great.
Yeah. It's the first time I had read the Avengers in years.
Comic Book Resources has that Urban Legends thing.
I saw that thing.
And they had the Urban Legend about Jeff Johns turned in an Avengers script that they literally split into two.
Because too much
happened in one story.
Oh, the 90s.
That
golden
funny.
Time. Yeah, exactly. And then the first issue came out of the separated two issues, and they're like, boy, not much happened in this issue.
Wasn't Marvel going to do one of those online games, too?
They were. And they
it was here in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
EA
Weren't
Chicago.
Weren't they doing a Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
No, that's happening.
That's still happening? Yeah. Okay, cool. Because I did play that a little bit with a friend of mine, and I have to say, I was pretty impressed.
I enjoyed both of those. I never finished the second one, though.
It was quite a bit of fun, I have to... And I'm not a big video game guy. To get me to play a video game, it does pretty much have to be something that like I'm already kind of...
I enjoyed it for a while, but it kind of lost its luster with me a little bit
it became a bit repetitive in the, you know. But, I mean, it was cool because like you're running around, you're being Spider-Man, yeah. You're being Captain America, throwing the shield. And
I couldn't get past labs, kind of Titanus at the end, so I was just like.
Did you ever play X-Men Legends?
Yes, and yeah, that's, I think that's I have. And they're taking some of the cool stuff from Legends and yeah. Ultimate Alliance, and they're kind of yeah. mushing them together to where you'll be able to combine powers. And that was what was cool about Legends is that, you know, it's if you had Iceman and Storm, right. Then you can make like an ice storm. Yeah. To where in I guess the Ultimate Alliance you'll be able to.
That
do
was
that.
Way more fun than I ever. That was that was probably the last video game that I played and finished. Because yeah. I had so much fun yeah. playing that game. Because you would have yeah. all the X-Men characters. You would have, like, a combo of Wolverine and Cyclops. You know, and it appeals to your base level of nerdiness.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is, like, the best part of nerdiness. Exactly. The very base exactly. level. Yeah, it's exactly. That's the purest enjoyment you will have. Is
you
like,
just pure give nerd. Up and let it wash over you.
It's like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Mm-hmm.
One of the women that I work with was the voice of Spider-Woman in the Ultimate Alliance
game. Of course.
Yeah. Too bad she wasn't the body model.
Yeah, actually, Tasia could probably pull it off. She's quite the cutie. She's been on All My Children. She was a regular character on All My Children.
Did you
Tasia Valenza, ladies.
Tasia Valenza.
Tasia
Valenza.
I know a Tasia. Actually, I know a Tasia.
She's very cool.
Soap opera?
She's also the voice of You guys Dominic read that post on the forum about that Watchmen game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That weird. Seems so bizarre. Like
but
a straight-up fighting, horizontal
so
fighting game?
Meta, almost, in a weird way.
Yeah.
Well, that's like, what I was wondering if they were doing it, you know, like...
If all this stuff comes out and it does have, like, Vite brand, like, marketing on it,
sense.
Then it would be... I would be
it
behind
would
so it.
Be weirdly correct
yeah.
in a weird
yeah.
way. Like,
but I have no 80s, real interest so, in playing the game.
Yeah, me either. I mean, beyond...
I mean, I'm terribly excited for the movie, but I don't know if I'd be.
I'm really surprised by the fact that Watchmen jumped up to like
number five at Amazon.
On Amazon, like yeah. they just reprinted 300,000. Yeah,
the trailer on Dark. On
was
the Dark
it really just the trailer?
Well,
Dark
it's that. Well, it's that I motion. It's that motion cartoon right now on iTunes, which is very interesting.
Well, here it's Sal's story from his Borders
the
experience.
Saturday after we saw Dark Knight on Friday. That Saturday, I went to my local Borders,
yeah.
as I often do on Saturdays, and I'm standing around, their computers went down, so I was looking for that book,
yeah.
and I couldn't do anything, so I'm standing in line waiting for the desk, the help yeah. at the desk, and there's a kid, probably, he looked pretty young, you know, maybe 19, maybe not even that old, him and his girlfriend were standing there, and he was asking about a graphic novel, and he... didn't know who did it. He didn't know anything about it other than it was called Watchmen, and the woman didn't know anything about it, didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So she's trying to find it. Yeah, so I walked over to the...
Pardon me.
Yeah, and I handed
him
the only copy that
Wouldn't
they had.
Wouldn't that be just a crazy thing that all these people are going to read Watchmen before...
the movie.
So, I mean, I can only assume that the guy saw the trailer... next day went and bought it. I mean,
isn't that,
could
it's
be.
So, but it's good. It's good, but crazy.
It no is. Weird. I so, went in. I was over at Challengers Comics the other day, and they have almost like a wall of it. And I was like, really? Are people buying it? He's like, yeah, people are coming in.
Did you hear my crazy eBay story?
Yeah, I did. I thought about selling mine after I heard that because I've got all those.
Mine's up to $31 and still has like 5 days left on the
That's
auction.
That's all 12 issues.
Yeah, here's one right now with an hour left on eBay
for the original issue.
$217. I'm going home tonight and putting mine on eBay.
I felt kind of
holy crap.
There's kind of a sentimentality there that I'm just like, I don't want to get rid of my issues, but
screw
I got the absolute.
Me too.
Really
sure. Screw that. I'm
but, I mean,
selling that in
a heartbeat. It's such a weird thing to think about. It's like this weird storm of like where everyone's like talking. Everyone's always thought Watchmen is a really well written, well drawn. It's a fantastic comic book. And now it's this weird storm of the opportunity where people are actually
yeah.
interested in picking it up. Just
well, you've
like,
had a summer full of comic yeah. book movies that have yep. all been good.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, I mean, they've basically all, I think it started with 30 Days a Night really early in the,
sure.
you know, earlier on, which was a good movie that people mm-hmm. may or may not even have yeah. known it was based on a comic.
Yeah.
But from that point on, all year long, you've had this string of films, and I just think,
you know, it, momentum. Momentum, and it culminated with Batman, which was fantastic and huge.
That
you know,
the trailer.
Well, I also think when Sin City came out after the fact,
people came
up with the book, and now they're hearing the buzz about Watchmen.
300.
That's the thing. So I think there have been
huge book sales,
other adaptations that have created a buzz afterwards where the book sales have gone up, and now here's a case where there is enough time to really read the book.
Sure.
And also look at all the other ancillary properties that are going to come out before the movie actually comes out. That Dave Gibbons book is going to come out about making Watchmen. Dave Gibbons and John Higgins are doing that. And the game, obviously, is coming out. So this is great. The motion cartoon that's going on now,
which
at
is
iTunes.
A lot better than I thought it would
Me
be.
Me too. And yeah. I, you know, honestly, and I feel kind of snobby saying that it is a shame that you lose the panel design and really part of the genius of Gibbons' art.
But what you get, what they add, you know, the score behind it, the animation.
And it's cool. There's a panel, there's a DC panel that's on iTunes available from San Diego Con that Gibbons talks about, and he loves it. It's so night and day for more.
I thought it was
going to
be cheesy.
Gibbons is like, this is awesome.
It's a weird, perfect storm for Watchmen being really good.
Well, hopefully it won't be awful and just destroy all the momentum of...
I don't think it will.
I honestly don't think it will.
I think Zack Snyder really cares about doing it.
Did you see that thing on the Beat where Zack Snyder talked about how he argued with the people at the studio about making it closer?
Well, that's the story. I mean, there was an article in Entertainment Weekly where he's talking about... I mean, he didn't want to make the movie, but they were going to make it anyway. So he was just like...
Well,
I'll do it. Gotta let me do it, because you guys are gonna
fuck it up.
All he's done is argue to make it closer to the source material.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going into it with complete, you know, like no preconceived.
If it captures like a quarter of how good the book is, that would be awesome.
What do you guys think of V for Vendetta?
I did too.
And honestly, it was different from the book, but I still liked it. That's not the kind of expectation that I'm, you know.
Nothing is really as good as the source material anyway.
Right.
To expect it to be that good
except 300.
Is
setting
dumb.
Yourself up for a failure.
300
was better,
different case,
I thought.
Yes. Well, that, I mean...
Than the source material.
But when you look at 300,
it's so simple.
Very thin book.
Yeah, it's very simple.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah. You can't take...
You can't take what you love. I mean, you can't take your love of Watchmen. Because I assume anyone that really loves Watchmen, there's very specific or very hard reasons why.
You know,
because of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The denseness of it, the complexity of it. You can't take that love of those things into a two-hour movie about it.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but the funny thing is when I hear people talk about comic books being storyboards for stuff, like, I always think, like, you can't...
They can be, but...
They can be, but you can't... a two-hour movie about Watchmen, you can't have the pirate stuff.
Yeah. Right. But
just
he's doing
like,
it anyway on
like
the DVD.
The Hulk,
they're doing it on the DVD.
You can't have the part where the Hulk tries to kill himself, like Ed Norton wanted. You can't have it. You know? Like,
you could.
Oh, I think you could have. It's too bad that they didn't, quite frankly.
I think it was good.
From what I saw,
I enjoyed
actually,
the film,
on the G4 coverage, they talked to him, and they were talking... I think he's got, like...
Native son of Green Bay, Zack Snyder.
Yeah, he's ended up at around about 3 hours worth of material, and he thinks that the studio is going to make him cut it down a little bit. But he was already talking about DVDs that he's going to.
It's almost like
gonna
he's
have
creating
everything
it for the
on
DVD,
it. Yeah.
And then whatever the studio allows him to.
Well, yeah,
put
I mean,
out.
It really should have been an HBO series more than
but
it should
the funny
be. Thing,
sure, sure.
You know, in a perfect world, you know.
It's funny to see this summer of. Good comic book movies. Mm-hmm. After I think a little bit of a lull of
it kind of hit a little bit of a valley there after all the excitement from the X movies and Spider-Man had built up, and then I think they tailed off. And
yeah,
we hit
X3
a little
was a dud.
X3 and Spider-Man
a
3,
a highly grossing dud, and Spider-Man 3 a highly grossing dud.
Sure. Yeah, but I think that's.
The gross doesn't make it a better movie.
But it's a question of, you know, where did the non-comic fan... How did the non-comic fan feel about it? And I think more people like both of those movies than hardcore comic.
Well, I go back to Fantastic Four. You know, as a comic book fan who's almost 40 years old, the movie wasn't made for me.
No.
But that doesn't mean... You know what? I know tons and tons of kids that love episode 3, 4, and 5 or whatever the hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, and 3. 3. Sorry.
The nerds know it. Absolutely love that movie. It wasn't made for me. And, right. and same with Fantastic Four.
I think you see, you can tell a lot by how the studios react to what happens with the movies. You didn't see after Spider-Man 3 them leaping to saying, like, Spider-Man 4 is coming out in 2 years with right. the
well,
same
but, people. But, yeah. but a lot of that had to do with the fact that Maguire and Dunst and Raimi were not signed for a fourth film.
But I also think that has a lot to do with the fact that I think nothing happens in a vacuum with these movies. I don't think people's decision not to do the next one is completely
causal.
Separate from... I mean, what happened in the movie that they just did?
I don't know what.
Public perception succeed of beyond 3 too.
It's hard,
and I think it is.
It's really hard to do.
You know, Lethal Weapon 4, the Star Trek films and things. It's like they got creaky after. You know, most of them got creaky
because
Rocky pretty much the moment that things break down.
Right. Star Trek 6 was a damn fine movie.
I enjoyed that.
That used to Dogs of War.
I saw my dentist at that movie.
Rocky IV was phenomenal.
That was a weird movie. When I was a kid and I went to go see Star Trek 6, and I saw my dentist at it, and that was a weird moment.
Hey, have you seen some of the promo stuff for the new Star Trek?
I'm interested in it.
I saw the trailer.
Oh, I come on, J.J. First of all, J.J. Abrams on Mission Impossible 3. Literally, that is the best of those three films.
I was so burned
with,
out on
that. Tom Cruise.
No, other guy. The bad guy?
Philip Seymour Hoffman was great. But yeah, no, I mean, I went in with no expectations and was like, this is a great fucking movie.
Really?
Yeah, and I just think J.J. Abrams has got the magic touch.
My next play.
You know, Alias, I mean, this is a generation of quick-cut films. And I think J.J. Abrams' stuff is all about that. So I think he knows how to do action well. And he seems to be enough of a Trek fan that he is pretty serious about doing this right. I think it's going to be excellent.
We had mentioned Star Wars a little bit. We are a couple weeks away from the animated.
I'll see it.
Yeah. I know people that are excited about it that aren't even Star Wars fans.
I mean, the animation's kind of funky.
I didn't like the animation that much on the trailer.
I like a lot of the animation. I enjoy it. I saw
some of the faces.
They had the cartoon, Tartakovsky cartoon. That's pretty much the same thing as far as I know.
Oh, I didn't think so. Really, I thought visually this is more Final Fantasy they're like puppets.
Final models of the Tartakovsky cartoon.
Well, I didn't think so. Maybe it's the texture.
If you saw a side by side comparison,
I think the
character designs are almost identical. How they're rendered is differently.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
I liked it better in two dimensions. I guess
I would prefer they did something different. I mean, I'm not really
It looks like video game in between scenes of like.
That's fine. I love Star Wars.
Yes, they do look like cutscenes.
Oh, no, you're right.
Like cutscenes from a video game. And I mean, that's not good or bad. That's that's kind of how I feel about some comic books, too, is that it looks like cutscenes from a video game. You know?
I was reading the latest issue of Thor, and there was this panel in it. And I really loved the art in it, but there was a weird panel. It was a transition from, you know, one page to the next, and one heading to the next. No, it was like from a movie. It was a strange like close up on hamburgers on a grill, and then you pull back the next panel of the guy grilling hamburgers. Just like that seems like a weird choice to put in.
Copio?
Yeah. And I love his stuff, but it was just such an odd.
I've heard a lot of good things about the Thor.
I was going to mention it in last week's episode. The trade just came out this week, and I had picked up the first couple issues of that. Really enjoyed them, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna wait for the trade on this one. Got the trade home, and today actually sat down, started reading it, couldn't put it down.
Really?
And now I want to start picking it up in single issues because it was that.
Yeah,
good.
I read the first two, and I also said I'm one of those people that say I'll wait for the trade and then I don't actually buy the trade.
Yeah,
me buy,
too.
I'm a big. I like single issues.
You and I.
Everybody's
still,
worst nightmare.
Oh. I know exactly. Yeah, I'm what people fear.
Is he staying on Thor? I mean, I know he's at DC now.
Straczynski?
Is he staying with Thor?
No exclusive. He's bringing those Archie and...
Hey, man, I got to tell you, I'm psyched for that.
Jughead's going to be Batman, man.
Because the times that they've taken the Archie heroes and done serious takes on them, they're kind of entertaining stories. The Black Hood goes back to the pulp days. There are prose stories of the Black Hood. and it was, you know, another good costume Avenger. I thought he was great.
I like Straczynski. I love the 12. I think Straczynski, when he gets a chance to play in his own playground without having to dick around with stuff.
That's why Thor works for him, because he's taken it, you know, completely out of any other interaction other than him kicking the shit out of Iron Man.
He took one issue and said, you know what? This is going to be where Thor, this is Thor's issue
But the rest of the book is him completely outside of any other interaction with superheroes.
I mean, I know I think he gets a little too much flack sometimes for...
I like most everything that he's done.
I think it's his Spider-Man stuff, I think, got a little bit of... I think.
Well, certainly the one since past story, the Gwen Stacy's kids. You know, that story certainly got flack. Well, but beyond that, and you're right, though, I think people did pick on other arcs of that story, too. I thought it was a fun arc.
I thought it was a fun run, for the
most part.
You know, I didn't like his Spider-Man stuff, but I always felt like... It's a weird thing when you criticize, like, writers or creators. There's times where I feel like there's one sort of criticism to say, like, I don't like what you're doing.
It's not my cup of tea, but that doesn't mean it was done poorly.
Yeah, right. I don't like what you're doing, but you're doing what you do well, and some people like it. And that's fine, and that's a completely valid, you know.
Sure.
No one's going... There's no perfect comic book.
Right.
You know, there's no magic.
Yeah, someone will hate it. Someone is not going to like it.
You haven't read Lock and Key yet.
Oh, God, I know. But no, that's one of the things about online criticism sometimes is things are compared to an imaginary book that everyone will like.
Well, the difference between I don't like it and that means it's bad.
Because I have loved the 12.
12 has been great.
12 has been awesome. You know why it's awesome? Because he didn't introduce a villain. The villain is the world.
Mm-hmm. The villain is the heroes.
Yeah, the villain is
themselves.
The villain is reality.
I've always liked what he does, because regardless of whether it fits, because it doesn't fit into what everyone else always does. He always does something different. He always does something off kilter from, you know, sort of the norm.
I didn't like his Fantastic Four stuff all that much. But
he's
a weird guy in that I always pick up what he does because I'm...
He's a good writer.
I always feel like
it's just
the first
a matter
time,
of you...
if I read the first issue and I don't like it, I'll know that I won't like the rest. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, oh, okay. Well,
because that's
just
what
not,
it is. You know what it's going to be.
I'm just like, oh, well, he's going to do this. All right. Well, then I won't get the rest of his Fantastic Four.
Is he ever going to get back into TV?
Oh, sure. He's busy with movies. He and Ron Howard have a movie brewing.
Do they?
That? Yeah, okay. I mean, he announced that last year.
Is B5 dead?
No, and in fact, last year they did that direct-to-video, those two stories, and I know they did well. I think he needs to reconcile where to put the story now that Shakar and the Doctor have passed away, the actors that played them passed away. And they were, I mean, all that core group, all of those characters were very important to the big story. And that's where I think he just... You know, all those people were very close to him, and I think it really upset him. And he pretty much said it at the New York panel last year that he's like, I just got to figure out where the story is without these guys.
Because, yeah, it was 5 years of four of the best sci-fi TV I've ever seen.
You can honestly put Babylon 5 up with classic Star Trek and the Twilight Zone in terms of seminal sci-fi television series.
Absolutely.
That made a statement that no other series up to that point had made.
But even there, starting with that fifth season of B5, I felt like Straczynski is a great storyteller who doesn't have closing ability. It's hard for him to finish up a story really well.
Well, he kind of finished it in the fourth season, and then TNT came back and said, you know, we need another season from you. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, because he really did kind of show his cards at the end of that fourth season with a lot of the things, and then kind of went back to some of them and expanded on them in the fifth season.
That's a misnomer that stemmed from Rising Stars.
What's that?
I think
that he can't.
That he can't finish. Can't finish.
So I think, yeah, I think. Yeah, I think you're right about
that. Because of that, well, the way that.
But Babylon 5
and
had
Supreme
that
Power, too. Same thing. Obviously.
Well, but once again, that wasn't his fault necessarily.
Yeah.
I mean, he had initially actually planned that as 5 years, and then they.
Can I change the topic?
No, no. He says right up.
No, it was 5 years. I thought it was always planned to be a 5-year series.
It was, and then they were gonna. And then they told him during the fourth season, you better wrap it up because you're not coming back.
And then they came back.
Then realizing the success that was going on, they're like, "We're sorry, we're going to give you one more season."
Okay.
So yeah, that's the it's you know a network fucking with you.
Topics wildly,
absolutely,
in a fantastic manner.
Flip it, flip the script, bitch.
I've been reading through some back issues lately.
Oh really?
What a shocker!
I was reading.
Don't you do a podcast about that?
Yeah, Well, this is besides reading old JLA issues. I'm almost done. Awesome. So boring.
It's on the
I was reading some old Superman family comics.
Yay!
From the, you know what's crazy? Is you see a character like Jimmy Olsen.
Mr. Action?
Exactly.
Love Mr. Action.
A character who, at this time, for years and years, you know what Jimmy Olsen did in the 70s? He used to go around kicking people's asses. You know what Lois Lane used to do? She used to use Kulkor, Kryptonian karate on people.
Yes.
They were like action heroes. And it's so weird to think about...
Jimmy and Lois as action heroes?
Because, as one of Chris's favorite words, it's cyclical. And
it is one of my favorite
for
words.
For a certain fan base...
But I only use it every once in a while.
For a certain fan base who wrote those characters for a while, when they were a kid, they read him as a... Jimmy Olsen is like someone who kicked ass, and they thought, well, he shouldn't kick ass.
He's a photographer.
It was so because it's such
cub reporter,
it's
actually.
Cub reporter, yeah. A different take. It's like it's 180 degrees.
And he's a young adult. He's like
it's
Nightwing.
So weird.
He's like a plainclothes Nightwing. As someone who bought those comics,
Wonder Woman was like a secret agent, spy with a white,
guys.
Jumpsuit.
Really, like Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane were high selling books for DC.
And these were
just the progression of, well, we can't keep the monthlies going anymore, but there's an audience for them. Let's put them in Superman.
I also want to say,
and that's what it was. It was a continuation of the stories they were doing in their single issues.
People who talk about decompression. Read some of those. You want to talk about a storyline not paying off? Read a book that came out bi-monthly in the 70s, and you had to wait a year and a half for a resolution.
That never comes.
Those are the 8-issue-a-year books, I think, were always interesting, too.
I'm serious. I have a bunch of Superman family issues, and there's Supergirl stories in it. And there's this suspicious cloud that follows Supergirl around, like causing problems for her. And this cloud has been around since issue 187. I'm on issue 201. This is a fucking bi-monthly comic.
That's 2 years.
Yeah, no shit.
That's 2 years. Cow.
So when you complain about decompression,
we're building up the foreshadow.
Who's writing the Supergirl Cloud saga?
Jerry Conway.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm telling you, when you complain about decompression, you have rose-colored glasses, my friend. But there are stories that don't pay off in the past either.
How about Mr. and Mrs. Superman? One of my personal favorite series.
Those always paid off. The Supergirl, the Supergirl story is fucking insane. I'm like, they have to tell me who this fucking cloud is. I've been reading these.
That was the hook, baby. They had you for 2 years because you had to know what.
Who is this cloud?
Yeah, what is this cloud?
It's going to be Jor-El, like the Jor-El from Earth 2.
Wow.
Jor-El.
Hey, going back to
there is a Jor-El, by the way, which I just recently read that in.
Going back to the multiple Earths, did you read. Ambush Bug Year None?
Yeah.
Yes.
What did you guys think about that?
It was a little old-timey in the humor a little bit, but I thought there was things... The women in refrigerators...
Oh, I was...
The women in refrigerators thing was maybe the funniest thing in that book.
Just the women being killed everywhere in that
women
book
dying
just,
everywhere in the
DC universe. I was just like,
universe.
Oh, my God, that's so... I mean... Yeah, I thought it was it's pretty funny. It was definitely felt straight out of, a backup story and
straight out of Giffen's mind.
Yeah, but I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was pretty well done. And
I love that Jan Jones is like that book's biggest cheerleader.
Yeah,
and she really just is like And meanwhile, there's women in refrigerators and there's Jan. Yeah.
Well, that's the weird thing about it because like I'm sitting there laughing.
It's funny.
And then I'm like, what is he saying exactly? Is he poking fun at the whole, or is he Well, who's he poking fun at, though?
He's poking fun at everyone.
Everyone who takes things too seriously. Everyone who takes things too seriously.
And yeah, that's the beauty of it. Yeah. It's like, okay, so.
Because he's great in panels. It's like, Keith, who do you want to bring back? Who do I want to bring back? Who do I want to kill? That's the question.
Karate Kid.
Yes.
As he said, every opportunity he gets, he kills Karate Kid. And he will always kill Karate Kid.
Seriously, he's the star of every DC panel he is on. He is so damn fun.
Remember when we were standing near him and I wanted to talk to him, but I was intimidated, even though he's probably almost a foot shorter than me. I was like,
he's a little
Keith Giffen. I kind of want to talk to Keith
he's
Giffen, but I don't know if I want to talk to Keith. I think he might make fun of me.
I think he would make fun of you and like you at the same time because you get it.
I'd suggest you guys have him on, but you literally have to be like prepared to interview him when you get him. Because he's that kind of...
Are you saying Vanita's, we're not prepared?
Well, because, like, Vanita is the person who, like, hooked me up initially with him, and it literally is like, okay, we got to do this now. And it's like, okay, fine. And I'm like, and luckily I was ready, because she's like, you better be ready, like, with questions and stuff. I'm like, okay.
Or
he'd be like, call me back in a half hour, and we'll do it then. And it's like, okay, Keith. And it was like... Let's go.
Cool.
I like
Tom's always.
He's cool.
He's
any awesome.
DC creator. I mean,
I would
come on.
To keep the
he is awesome.
I
haven't read Rain in Hell yet.
I'm done. I haven't read that either yet.
I enjoyed it.
That's cool.
Is that the Sienkiewicz ink?
Inking Darnik was a little weird at first, but I got used to it.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what... Let me look at...
Weird.
You know, I read a couple... Did you read The Core? The Top Cow?
The Pilot Season? No, I haven't yet.
I didn't like it. I'll
be honest. Who wrote that again?
Hickman.
That's right.
I thought it...
I'm due to talk to
Jeff. I like Hickman, but I'll be honest. This displayed a lot of Hickman's go-to moves.
Ticks.
Is ticks, is like use of time shift, like 4 weeks later, 2 weeks later,
right.
Like counting down to something. It was a little cliched space story, a little, I just thought it was a little weak. I want to see Pax from Hanna 3, to be honest.
Yes.
I've been waiting for a long time. And I like him, but I read that and I was like, oh, this is a little plain on that.
You know, I think with Hickman is that he experiments with so many different things and has so many ideas all over the place. It's kind of like a little like Grant Morrison for me in that he's throwing so much spaghetti up against the wall that some of it's going to stick and some of it's not,
well,
and that's
one.
Okay.
This is a little... Did you read Frank Frazetta's Creatures?
Yes.
Do you remember? Oh, it was awesome.
Yes.
I talked to him about that.
Actually.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt with the Dark Riders as opposed to the Rough Riders. It's kind of his
awesome.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, if you will.
Really?
I wish it was more. I was like...
And actually, he said that he will likely in the future go back to that. So he talked to Jay Photos, who's running the Frazetta Comics.
And Jay Photos?
Yes.
FOTOS?
Yes.
Is he a colorist?
No, he's...
I know he's an artist of some sort, but...
That's the guy who's coloring Lock and Key.
So. Okay. It's likely.
Well, he may be a colorist, but I think
he's
done pencils.
Yeah, it's fresh in my mind.
Did you guys read the new Dynamo, not Dynamo 5?
Not yet.
I'm getting that in trade. I just picked up the second trade.
Did anybody read I Kill Giants?
Yes.
The Image book?
I liked it
a really
lot.
I really liked it, too.
That's Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly.
So
I don't remember the artist.
I heard great things
thing.
About that. Yeah.
It was just really interesting. It was basically a story about a young girl.
Who plays D&D.
She plays Dungeons and Dragons, and she believes that she is a giant killer. Her name is her last name is Thorson.
Yeah.
Thorson. And... At the end of the first issue, I just thought it was so cool how they did it because you're not sure if she's crazy, a kid playing a game, or if she really is a giant killer that talks to fairies and
sees...
going to
end up like that Tom Hanks TV movie Mazes and Monsters?
I don't know, maybe.
Wow.
Hopefully not that horrible.
That was tragic.
Yeah.
Do all five of us actually remember that?
I remember it. I don't remember it, but I remember, you know, like I couldn't tell you the story, but I remember.
I think I thought that it was so much fun to read that book because of that, because that line between where's the story going to go? Mm-hmm. Is there really, like, fairies that live underneath her coat? Right, or is this, like, her escaping from, like,
well, yeah, it was
her
like
weird, you know, family situation?
Yeah, that she's not happy about. And yeah, that, well, you know, it felt like Pan's Labyrinth in that way. You know, where Pan's Labyrinth, I felt, I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah,
that
yeah. You don't know
at
which
the
one
end,
the
you
truth.
Don't know, yeah, what's real or if this girl is just, you know, escaping from the war, or what you know, what it is, but I really liked that.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was, I'm very much looking forward to the second issue of that. It's too bad it's only gonna be three issues, but it was pretty cool.
All right,
yay, Joe Kelly.
Yeah, it was cool because it was such a neat exploration of being nerdy.
Being young and out of place and not
and being 100% thinking you're 100% correct about yourself.
Yeah.
But she stands up and she's like, if you haven't killed the giant, you're in no position to criticize me. You know, she goes,
she was
a little
precocious for my taste. I mean,
yeah.
I
if you haven't feasted
that,
upon the heart of a dead giant, you have, yeah, you know, it's like.
But it worked because.
But it works, yeah.
Yeah. It was if she
so
was
ridiculous.
The daughter of Thor, I guess that's how she would she would act.
That was.
But yeah, it was cool, and the art was really good on it too. It was an interesting manga-esque, but not. It was like manga-ish,
manga-ish,
but then like a little like some Ashley Wood seemed inks on it a little, and then some weird.
What was an example of the best part of Image where you have a book like that?
Yeah, where else could that book come out? I mean, it was just completely off the charts as far as anything else.
I loved it. It was great.
I thought it was very cool. I was just from the name and the cover, I was sold on it.
I didn't pre-order it. I saw it, and I was like, oh. I picked it up. It had a cardstock cover.
And is that why you picked it up? Yeah.
Full wraparound.
Full wraparound cover. I like to collect stuff. And I was like,
I'm
this is going to be collectible.
Yeah, it was cool, though. It was one of my favorite books I've read of late.
I'm kidding.
What?
I haven't seen it yet.
You don't like anything.
I'm
sure I love it. I do like stuff.
What do you like?
You didn't
Mike Norton.
You didn't
top,
like Batman.
Type.
I liked Batman.
Top three twice. Things.
You saw it twice?
Yeah.
Weren't you bitching
we
about that
each
movie?
Other a movie?
I
film,
was.
No. Here's the thing. I'll defend Norton. Here's the thing. Sometimes when you review something and it's everyone agrees that it's
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
And you point out
you
the things that are bad about it, everyone thinks you hate it. But it's not that you hate
exactly.
it, you just point out the few things you didn't like.
Caters gets Norton.
Yes.
Yeah. He really
don't
does.
Talk. Don't That's talk, exactly. Mike. Don't answer any
it's
of their questions.
It's a great movie. Senator. I just dared to pose the idea that
and
it's
you were wrong.
Not as great as everybody said it
my
was.
My mom was blind, and my dad took her to that movie.
And
she
healed
walked
her?
Out.
Yes.
And amazed. she saw everything.
She could see.
Well,
could
no, I'm see. Not. I mean, I agree that it had flaws. It wasn't that. I was just saying.
I think it's a fantastic movie.
I think you should do every
is
show.
It
while
the best,
a,
is it the best superhero movie?
That's the thing. That's the way that I was judging was pure gut. I felt better coming out of Iron Man than I did out of Dark Knight.
Yeah, it was a happier movie.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it was definitely a happier movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was just like, wow, I had more fun in that movie than I did in Dark Knight.
Yeah, and
now,
I agree
did Dark Knight
too.
Dark Knight had zero plot holes, which is like a fanboy's wet dream. It's like, wow, I can't really complain about that movie.
What's a plot hole for Tiny Lister as the giant bald convict?
Tiny blew up your boat.
Yeah, I'm going to make a t-shirt that says that.
I love that, man.
Tiny Lister's going to blow up your boat. I'm going to be the new Obey Giant guy. I'm just going to put those stickers everywhere.
Had the pleasure of hanging with Tiny Lister many times in Vegas because he's a huge fight fan, and I would literally get him into press conferences because, you
if
know,
we ever
he's like, can I
another
there with you. I'm like,
commentary.
Sure, man, you're not conspicuous. By all means, jump right in. Follow me in.
If we ever do another movie commentary,
yes.
Can it please be No Holds Barred?
No Holds Barred.
Oh, the film? It's No Holds Barred? That's the Hulk Hogan.
I know that movie. Oh, yeah.
Hulk Hogan, Tiny Lister.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Zoom.
I'd be happy with that.
I won't watch that movie again.
No. Can we do a commentary for WrestleMania 3? I watched WrestleMania 3 with friends of mine last winter. WrestleMania is really long.
It is.
And it jingoistic. Is. And maybe it's like the most ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's really long.
I remember that. Like, how long?
2.5 hours.
If you want a living, breathing, unending cavalcade of reasons why stereotypes are alive and well in our country,
Pick up WrestleMania 3 from Netflix.
Yes, exactly.
You will have a fight where there is a hillbilly besides Jim Duggan.
Yeah, this is Jim Duggan. Okay.
With two dwarves, also dressed as hillbillies.
But that was the point. I mean, accidentally.
But when you see the crowd, and everyone, Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff versus...
the tag team!
Yeah, versus someone dressed like bees. And then everyone's chanting, USA. And Nikolai Volkoff...
But it's funny, I think those guys dressed like bees were Mexican. Yeah, they did that.
In college, a friend of mine put me in the
soap opera.
Camel clutch and hurt my back.
Whoa. Was Mr. Fuji their manager?
That was a different...
The best thing about wrestling in the 80s is, who are all the bad managers?
Mr. Fuji,
an Asian.
Jerry, the mouth from the South. Jimmy Hart, thank you.
Southern.
He's from my...
Reverend.
Oh, Classy Fred Blassie.
No, the African American guy. The guy who.
As a manager.
Reverend?
Yeah.
A reverend?
I don't remember.
I think I remember what you're talking about.
What is middle America afraid of? Asians?
Southerners? Some
crazy Southerners. African Americans.
I thought they were appealing to crazy Southerners.
I don't know, that people were a little more on the joke than what was represented.
I think you'd be surprised.
I've
lived with people that proved otherwise.
It always amazes me, though, still to this day, it's like, I don't know, maybe it's growing up in the Midwest and whenever you're just confronted with...
Reverend Slick.
I remember that.
Sure.
I've learned a lot about... The suspension of disbelief does not just apply to comics. It really doesn't.
It's reality.
It really doesn't.
My favorite thing was, and especially when I was in college, they would do Tuesday Night Titans, where they had the Tonight Show set, and they'd have like a talk show, and the British guy, and I can't remember his name, he was the Ed McMahon, and Vince McMahon was Carson. And they would have, like, you know, the usual kind of...
What's his name? Roddy Piper. He used to have his thing.
Well, this is way before the Piper's pin.
WrestleMania 3 was Roddy Piper's go-away partner.
Was Cowboy Bob Orton? Was that when he was boxing Bob Orton in WrestleMania 3?
I think so, yeah. Watch WrestleMania 3 for a little piece of America.
I didn't want to.
A little piece of America.
Hey, one other comment.
We were talking about stuff that I like.
That's what I actually did watch.
Has anybody been reading Number of the Beast? The Wildstorm.
No.
Scott Beatty's story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it good?
It's I got to go back and read it again because it's kind of, you know,
convoluted.
Strange.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've grasped the entire concept of it, but for some reason I'm really intrigued by it at the same time. The last issue just came out. I haven't read it yet, but it's kind of like if, you know, there were all these superheroes, and then the bad guys sort of put them, or not the bad guys, but like the government put them in like a virtual world to keep them
busy.
Occupied. But then you have like the greatest hero sort of awake, you know, kind of realizes what's going on. It's just really, but you don't really get that until like a few issues in. You don't even realize what's going on.
Wildstorm is like a weird place where you could do a really interesting story. because it'll just do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's no one's buying it, so they'll just fuck it. Just
have you read Chuck Dixon's World War II thing, that Storm in Paradise?
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah, I heard it's really good.
Holy shit.
War Heroes. Anybody read War Heroes? The Milton?
No, I'm waiting for that on trade, or when I talk to Mark. Whichever comes first.
It was pretty good. I mean,
the Mark Miller thing?
Mark Miller and Tony Harris.
Tony Harris.
It's hard for me to read a book that Tony Harris is doing that's not Ex Machina. I don't know. It's
remember a little thing called Starman?
His art's very different in Starman than it is in. It's changed a lot since Starman. Yeah.
Well, this story works fine. Yes, that's true. I mean. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah, but it's just I look at it and it's I don't know. I just
I don't like Tony Harris's current art.
No,
really?
No, I mean it's fine. It's very technically good. I just don't, for whatever reason, it doesn't click with me.
That's all right.
Man, I took a look at War Heroes and I was just like man. I'll pick it up.
No, it's
how
was
the story?
It was interesting. The first issue is kind of just a setup.
It's all set up, yeah.
But it's an interesting
talk
setup.
About, have you liked basically Kick-Ass?
Yes.
I've liked it.
Kick-Ass is going to make a good movie.
But I
love the art.
Romita's art is awesome.
The story.
I'm not crazy about it. I mean, it's good, but it's for some reason, it's like...
It's so loose.
It's very loose, and it almost seems dated for some weird reason.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It seems about 2 years, because it seems like a story that was invented when YouTube and all that stuff first came up.
Well, Jesus.
Yeah,
it was, if you think about it. We talked to Romita Jr.
Well, yeah, they did. Seems dated. Yeah.
Four years ago. That was going to be part of it.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, because I don't know what it is.
It's really awesome, though, to see Romita.
Civil War, you're right. Maybe.
Oh, just off the chain.
Yeah, do really graphic.
Yeah.
Violent.
Did you ever read
that Wolverine he did was pretty violent.
Well, no, the Gray Matter.
Oh, the Gray Area.
The Gray Area that he did. There was some. I mean, it wasn't terribly good, but there were some graphic moments in that were.
I love the Kick-Ass art.
And I really like the art. The Tony Hare, the War Heroes, like I said, it's basically set up, but it's a good setup of basically.
Is it World War II or World War
II? No, it's today.
Present day.
It's present day. There is a suicide bomber unleashes a bomb in Washington, blows up the Capitol building. The U.S. goes crazy, locks down everything, martial law.
Wow.
We invade Iran.
It's the escalation.
During Iraq and Afghanistan, sure, sure. Like right today, if this happened today, basically.
Wow.
They realize that they just don't have the forces, and they can't get young men because there's a huge rash of anti-war protesters. Nobody wants to join, and then there's a couple of chemical bombs that go off in various parts of the country. And,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, very the realistic things. That could, very demoralizing. The country is just completely fractured. Nobody, you know, so that what they decide to do is
to bolster enrollment.
Enrollment is give people superpowers to join the army. And so now we have an army of superpowered beings that they take a pill and they get super strength. They take another pill and they get fly.
It's basically like an army of hour men. It's like I take this pill and for the next hour I'm
no,
super 24 strong.
Hours. It's 24
hours. Oh, 24 hours.
Hours.
Okay.
That's the first issue basically is just
that's
a
cool.
setup. But it was a cool, like I said, it was a cool setup and done in a very, you know, that's why I'm saying like Tony Harris, this fits him perfectly because it's very much in vain with Ex Machina where it's the real world with a slice of fiction put into it. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
It's very much
reality based. On his art, I loved his art when Ex Machina first started coming out, but I've gotten to the point that just my taste in art have gotten more to the really expressive... It's like Pigeons from Hell. Love that, and that just finished up this week, and that's like on the other side of what Tony Harris does.
Sure.
You know what I'm going to do this weekend?
No.
I'm going to sit outside and read Crisis on Infinite Earths Absolute Edition like I do every summer.
With a glass of lemonade?
Yeah.
What'd you think of Ordway's stuff on the JSA annual?
It was good. It looked like Ordway.
Yeah. No, I miss Ordway doing the Justice Society. I thought that was really...
Ordway is... He's God. Solid. He's solid.
Well, yeah.
He does what he does. He does it well.
Yeah, always has.
Always has, always will.
Yes.
That's the Jerry Ordway guarantee.
Well, that take care of things? Are we good?
We're out of beer, so yeah, pretty much. I think that's it.
Yeah,
is that the show? Really? I just sat down.
Like over an hour ago?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, believe it
and
or not.
And this shit just kicked in, apparently.
Yeah, I was just asking that, John. You're going to be freaking out about 20 minutes.
I think we're talking about...
You have horns, John.
Thompson, Hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been, have to wait. Did you see that movie?
No, but I really want to, and it sparked my interest in.
I'll go with you. I'll see it.
Yeah, well, I don't know where it's playing.
As far as I know, it's only on Clark and Century.
I want to talk to you about this, because when he died, a friend of mine and I had a plan to go when they originally planned his funeral service.
To go,
we were
going to
go to it, and then they decided to change it, and we felt uncomfortable going. I felt uncomfortable. Or I was like, this is just a weird thing to go do that. Because one of my favorite books is the Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail.
Me too. That's awesome.
Well, here, my first ever real, introduction to Hunter S. Thompson was the film Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Yeah. I hadn't really read any of his work before. I knew of him, but didn't really know, hadn't read much of his stuff. I saw that movie, I didn't care for it. And
yeah.
I read the book afterwards, didn't really care for that either that much.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what is the big deal about this guy? He's just angry drug head. Well, no, and then it's been a while, and I just never... That was, I don't know when that movie came out, but it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. You ever read The Hell's Angels?
Well, I did read The Hell's Angels, and I did like that more so, but even then, I still wasn't completely sold on it. Recently, I saw something on the documentary, the new documentary or biography, Gonzo. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I'll go back. There's got to be something to this guy I'm not getting. Because, I just figured there's got to be something there.
I think podcasters should be very interested in Hunter S. Thompson.
Really? That's a good point. Well, anyway, I picked up The Great Shark Hunt, the first
his
volume.
Kentucky Derby story.
Oh, fantastic. Well, reading that, and it's, it's all, short articles from Rolling Stone and different magazines and everything, and then it was like, oh, okay, and then I got it. That was the thing. I was like, wow, I don't think, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas
is not the best representation
of his work at all.
That's a short piece.
That Kentucky Derby story.
That Kentucky Derby story is fantastic.
His online column for ESPN up until he died was fantastic. And the September 11th thing that he did was
the September 11th one.
Because
I would argue that his sports commentary fell apart a bit in the last 5-6 years. The September 11th article was fantastic, but he did call out the fact that we were all fucked.
Exactly. Yeah. And literally, where we are today, he knew back on the 12th.
But
2001.
Yeah. But I'm about halfway through that book, and I eventually plan to read all of the Gonzo volumes.
I have all of his stuff if he wants.
Do you?
Yeah, I
probably would borrow some from you because
my 17-year-old nephew is like totally in the Hunter S. Thompson.
Well,
like that's my kid.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. I read the book. Hell's Angel. I read that. I like that more so.
Hell's Angel
is so,
like his first thing.
Yeah,
too. It was very rudimentary.
And it was just like the whole drug culture thing. It was like, whatever. I'm not, that kind of turned me off more than anything. But when you get past that and like into his actual, writing, and
it's very class based.
Yeah,
too. There's a weird.
And sometimes he goes over the top, like his whole run for, the mayor run in Aspen. And
I think you would really enjoy The Great Shark Hunt because Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail.
That's a great book.
There's a lot of his writing. I feel like for a long time in America, political writers ignored class and ignored what people viewed as
from different
upper class, lower, but he very much embraced that sort of thing, and he very much had as far as podcasters, I almost feel like people who are doing this sort of media where they're doing this very basic media that's just going out to everyone should be very interested in Hunter S. Thompson, because his technique was very much saying fuck you to conventional story,
the boundaries.
This is how everyone else covers the Kentucky Derby. Now I'm going to cover the Kentucky Derby
from what way you would actually see it.
Yeah, from the way you would actually see it, and turning it around. and flipping it on.
Professional way of
and maybe it. Being a, the best representation of the Kentucky Derby sure. that's ever so. Been done, because it's much, in a
most
weird way,
closer.
It's so built up, but more honest
yeah.
than like all the other, you know, there's, the, it's a weird thing about how being basic and being entertaining can be a better service to telling the truth than your built up, you know.
Even though a lot extent. Of his truth was fictionalized.
Yeah, you know, it's a weird
but
thing.
But in some way he reaches yeah. a
his truer, fiction was truer than true.
Yeah. I did have a weird moment in that book as I'm reading it. After the Kentucky Derby article, then he goes to California.
Oh,
to
for the Mexican, the all the problems. Who's with the Mexican
migrant? Very strange. No. The journalist is killed.
Yeah.
And the journalist's name is Ruben Salazar, which is my father's name. My middle name is Ruben.
Yeah.
Just like as I'm sitting here reading the book, and all of a sudden, I was just like. Wow, that was fucking weird. It was like 1970. It was 1970.
But his stuff is really weird in the
1970
sense.
When he was killed. But
his
I was
stuff has such different senses of tone, too, from like the very funny to like... That story is really sad.
That one is very... And very... so far, one of the most, I feel, clear.
Yeah.
Like, very clearly written exactly what he's trying to say. You know, there's not very much... Even though he kind of goes into with Acosta and how Acosta ends up... They go to Vegas, and that's Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas with... he's Dr. Gonzo. But that story in particular is just very concise and very clear and you know, so when he doesn't... You know, it's like he... I like when he doesn't get into... Like, when he gets out of his own way a little bit, you know, and doesn't let the anger... I mean, while the anger is very good and it obviously drives what he's doing, and he's so smart to use it, but sometimes I think it gets in the way of his actual point.
You should read, I think you'll enjoy Fear and Loathing on the Campaign Trail, because it's him following the campaign from the beginning to the end. So you see the ebb and the flow of him, like, dealing with how campaigns go, and it's really interesting, because he starts off like completely manic, and then he calms down, and then he gets mad, and he's just talking about like how he can't keep anything straight in his own head, and like how running for president's completely insane, and why doesn't anyone else realize that this whole thing is insane. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is not a good representation, I think, of the better stuff.
No,
that he's
done. It's not, and I was amazed to sort of find that out. You know,
that's the
last
that's
few
the
weeks.
Thing that everyone knows, but it's the
well, that's exactly. I mean, that
well,
was
it's
the thing.
Johnny
like,
Depp movie.
That movie that introduced helps. So many people, myself included, to Hunter S. Thompson, and I think unfairly so. You know, it's like it became huge in a cult way. I mean, but I think it's like it overtook. You know, like it created a.
Well, it's a caricature.
Exactly,
and
it doesn't you know,
represent the real work that the guy did.
Yeah, and unfairly so. It's just like, wow, I'm glad that I.
Anyone wants to read really good Hunter S. Thompson, read his Kentucky Derby article.
Yeah.
It's one of the best pieces of sports.
Yes.
Have you ever read the best sports journalism of the 20th century book?
Yes, mm-hmm.
That's the Hunter S. Thompson one that's in there, because it's a fantastic story about a horse race. fucking decadent the Kentucky Derby is.
We should look online as soon as we stop recording and see where it's playing.
Yeah, I want to.
Let's do a Sunday.
Absolutely, see the movie.
I don't know what your Sunday is like. I'm cool. Or tomorrow. I'm cool tomorrow, actually.
Let's end this show now on Hunter S. Thompson.
On Hunter S. Thompson. Moment of silence.
Fuck you, he wouldn't want that.
He shot himself out of a cannon.
I love the story about...
Yeah, the ashes, that's right.
I love the story about how his neighbor in Colorado was John Denver.
We ended the show, man. It was over.
Oh.
Yeah, we're done.
Done. Should have brought it up. It's over.
Save it for next week.
Yeah, next week maybe.
Never mind.
I wanted to know about John Denver.
What about John Denver? Did he fuck John Denver?
Thompson would go up on the roof of his house and shoot golf balls at John Denver's house. So
nice.
I always thought that was kind of cute.
Do you guys ever check out Deadspin, that sports blog?
Mm-mm.
If you ever checked it out, Will Leitch, who edited it, had a really great story about meeting Hunter S. Thompson. It was him and a friend of his, and he does like a very irreverent sports blog, which is sort of famous for like a lot of print media doesn't like him very much. And he went with a friend of his who was a big fan of Hunter S. Thompson, and he arranged meeting Hunter S. Thompson. So he showed up at this bar with this guy who was a huge fan, and so he sat down, him, his friend, and Hunter S. Thompson. And the guy walked away, and Hunter S. Thompson goes, "Your friend's freaking me out."
I like the times he's been on talk shows and he was completely unintelligible. I mean, Letterman would have him on and was, really just wanted to have, because of who he was and couldn't understand a goddamn thing he said because he's
well, mumbled so much.
Yeah, he's unintelligible. I mean, really, yeah. I was speaking to him. He was unintelligible.
Heard, you read things with Bill Murray, who played him in Where the Buffalo Roam, and where Johnny Depp said that when you hang out with him and you start to pick up his vocal inflection, he had a hard time dropping it.
Yeah, Murray said, the cast of Saturday Night Live said that. It was like months afterwards, and he wouldn't stop talking like him.
You pick it up, and all of a sudden, you're like, he was stuck with him for a really long time.
Depp lived with him for, in his basement or whatever for a year.
Well, didn't Bill Murray stayed with him for a while, and he tied him to a chair and threw him in a pool.
But yeah, I do remember that story.
Jesus. Yeah. I mean, that's the weird thing about him, too, is like, you're never quite sure, because he admits that a lot of the stuff, he makes stuff up, but then it seems like there's a lot of stuff that, what of the crazy stuff is true and what of it is not, and it's hard to, it's a blurred line, you don't know, because there's plenty of stories of people
saying, Bill Murray into a pool.
Yeah, yeah, is that real?
If there's an afterlife, he and Hemingway, I think, would be a very interesting twosome to have over for dinner in the afterlife.
Kicks him out of the car and said,
all right.
Get out of here, pig fucker, when he kills Ralph Steadman out of the car.
Pig fucker, don't come back.
Get out of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Tom, you're still doing Tom versus the JLA?
Yep, I only have four more issues. More issues.
Wow.
And then Tom versus the Flash.
He's not going to do the JLA.
Just JLA.
That's fair.
I'm just
that's a good idea.
Burnt out on
no, that's Silver Age JLA. I respect that. Or pre-crisis JLA.
I'm so excited. I've been reading that Flash companion, and I'm just like, oh, yes.
He's starting at Showcase 4.
I still haven't been able to find the Showcase. I got to pick it up.
I look forward to your take on the turtle.
They're going to use it, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that guy from the future that was in Showcase 4, I can't remember his name, but a forgotten Flash villain. No, there was another Flash villain that was from centuries.
It was a failed villain that John Broom came up with. That didn't
hold.
Martaz.
Yes, very good man. You always
Tom, don't.
Tom knows.
How's it going?
John, any stuff coming up from you?
Yeah, actually, now that the con is over, everybody wants to talk and talk about the stuff they got coming up. But, new Bendis tapes on the way. Gail Simone, 50 questions coming up.
Cool.
Kirkman Manifesto, which will be very interesting.
Oh, especially now,
really good stuff. So watch, keep looking to the skies.
Words of
blue balloons.
Sal, you've got your big awesome movies soon to come.
Yeah, doing big awesome movies. We're going to start that probably, we'll probably have the first episode out in, I don't know, maybe like
I like how everyone else went to do podcasts with other people, and I went off to shutter myself off in a tiny universe of like,
I read
bronze, smelly old Bronze Age comics. I'm going to talk to you about that.
Mike and Chris Crank on the Crankcast every week, so look forward to that.
Well, Mike doesn't.
Don't necessarily.
Sure.
Whatever. Fuck
we'll
you.
We'll be there.
We'll keep doing it.
I really like to listen.
I don't know what else to do. I mean,
I'm suspicious of Tabor starting his own show.
Go ahead.
I'll believe
it. Is Tabor starting a movie?
He would like to.
Yeah, well, I know you talked about it, but
He talked about it.
Yeah.
He talks.
You want me to sabotage it?
But there's a reason why he's the Crankcast movie expert.
Okay.
All
right.
Because all you have to do is call him up.
It's a little bit of follow through problem.
Is he doing anything else?
That should be your tagline, Crankcast. A little bit of a follow through problem.
I'm on 11 o'clock comics. With Vince and Dave and rarely sober.
Thursday
and Wood.
Thursday is drinking night.
So you can check that out every Thursday or Friday morning. I also have my column at iFanboy every Thursday morning. Which is about drinking
I think
and comic
need to
books.
Have a fucking intervention.
Yeah, really.
Hunter S. Thompson over here.
Yeah, no shit.
Fear and Loathing, Dark Tower Comics.
When are you going to write an article where you fall into a comic book?
I told him.
Just like an AHA video. Take us.
Drop by the iTunes Music Store. Leave us a review if you would be so kind. Other than that, I think we're all done.
Should be the closing theme.
I may have to pick up some AHA. We'll be back next weekend with another full-length episode of Around Comics. In the meantime, in between time, we'll be everywhere in and around comics.
By guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008. Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week...
Don't make me like that, Tom.
What is that?
Oh, Lord. What? Kind of freaking
you got the Ed from Green Acres kind of gait going with your face there. It's kind of good, though.
Smile with that.
Mr. Douglas?